Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and you can join us 603-283-6160. I was typing and trying to say the number at the same time, and if you ever try to do something like this, it's surprisingly difficult to do. That's why I have so much respect for these musicians who can sing and play the guitar at the same time.
Imagine.
I know, it's crazy. It's like two different brain patterns happening at once. I don't understand.
I can't do either of those things alone.
Well, I can do them alone. Well, you can talk just fine alone.
Can't play the guitar, though. And you don't want to hear me sing.
That's just a skill, right, that one develops. But it's guitar becomes a matter of muscle memory, right, for the most part. But you still have to be able to keep rhythm, and I don't know how they do it, right? I understand the concepts, but I can't do it, and I can only imagine the amount of practice it takes in order to, like, be good at it. And then you have freaks of nature, like Les Claypool, the singer slash bass player from Primus, who's just playing these incredibly amazing bass lines while singing, and it's like, dude, can you stop being so amazing?
It's just, like, so crazy, because those are just different parts of a song. I can't even think about different parts of a song at once. Like, that's crazy. But, I mean, I don't play any instruments, so it's all, like, a mystery to me.
I can play bass to an extent. I'm not a bass player, but I'm competent. I can play the instrument, right? I could play bass in your band. You wouldn't want me to play bass in your band, but I could. If you wanted me in your band, it would be as a guitar player.
Oh, in your band. I thought you said in bed. In your bed.
No. But I could play bass, right? And I can play some Primus on bass. And it's extremely complicated. I can barely play Primus on bass. I can't imagine doing anything else while trying to do it, focusing on playing Primus.
Yeah. Oh, Les Claypool is an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Like, hands down, in my opinion, best bass player.
And it's not exactly uncommon to see these sorts of things. Like, Geddy Lee, the singer from Rush, also a really good bass player. Not up there with, like, Les Claypool or anything, but just amazingly good at what they're capable of doing. And James Hetfield, one of the best rhythm guitar players to ever live. And meanwhile, he's singing. It's crazy. I have nothing but respect for these people. I don't know why the hell I brought it up just now.
I think the drums...
You misspoke when you were typing.
Yes. Thank you.
Drums and singing is even crazier.
Oh,
like,
my
the lady
gosh,
from Skillet.
Yes.
Well, and I mean drums, because it takes a lot out of you. It's a very,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Because
it's like your whole body's moving, and it's hard to sing and do an exercise thing. It's also impressive that people can, like, dance like crazy, dance like choreographed dance and sing, but I think most of the time they, you know, lip sync just because of
but
logistics.
Broadway, on Broadway they do that, where it's impressive.
Drumming is exercise, though. You're absolutely right, Bonnie. I think that's what you were getting at. It's cardio, man. Like, one of the things I do for exercise is play drums, because it requires a movement of all four limbs to a beat, and some of it can be pretty fast and intense, and it's a workout. And if you play something like The Agonist or death metal or something like that, not that I can play The Agonist on drums, I certainly cannot, but if you attempt to, which I do attempt to, because that's the only way you ever get better, is to do things beyond your ability until they become within your ability, it's intense. It's a workout. You're sore afterwards. It's just like that first game of Wii boxing that everyone did when the Nintendo Wii was popular, right? Everyone got the Wii Sports, and they did their bowling and their boxing, and then they were sore the next day.
Yep.
And they were like, oh, that was a terrible experience.
That's how I broke a flat-screen TV my parents had.
No.
Did you? I always thought that was just like rumors.
I know, right? But it really happened to me. I even wrote about it in my diary. I was like, my dad is going to be home any minute now. And I'm gonna...
Oh, no.
He was mostly just like upset or sad. You know, he didn't... Yeah. It was an accident. I put the thing around my wrist. I just didn't clasp it tight enough. And I just have tiny wrists. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't expect it would fly out of my hand. I was doing the bowling, literally.
Yeah.
So you throw it right at the TV.
I used to like the dancing one, me and my sister. I would like pregame dance class with the Wii dancing game. It was fun.
I don't think I had the dancing one. I had, you know, Wii Sports, I think, came with the Wii. And like
that's
Mario
a good
Kart.
Little console, man. Yeah. I'm excited because I had an SD card adapter finally arrived today
Cool.
I've been waiting on for a long time. And the reason I bring this up is because I've been wanting to hack my Nintendo Wii U for a really long time. And this is just hacking so that I can play custom software and whatever. You know, it's completely legit. There's nothing shady or whatever about it. And the Wii U is discontinued anyway. I literally cannot buy software for the Wii U if I wanted to. Because that's the way Nintendo works. So anyway, I've been wanting to do this for quite a while, and I can finally do it now because there are a lot of games that came out for the Wii because the Wii U is backward compatible with the Wii. So if I wanted to play Wii Sports, and I even have one of the little sensor bars sitting on top of my projector screen. And
oh, yeah. I forgot about that part.
I bought the 30-foot extension cable to run it all the way back because the Wii U sits, you know, as far away, as physically far from the projector screen as one could be done, because that's just how things are designed. And so I, you know, play Super Mario Galaxy. By the way, one of the best Mario games ever made was Super Mario Galaxy. Just a lot of fun. It was cool...
Is that only Wii?
Yes.
Never heard of it, or at least never played it.
It was only for the Wii, and it was a lot of fun. It was very creative. And they also made Super Mario Galaxy 2, which improved just ever so slightly, just slightly better than the first one. But anyway, I didn't mean to get into all of that. Let's go to the phones. We have Sarah on the line from New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, yes. I was very impressed to find out... there's a New Beginnings church like a block away from me. Like, I just walked to it, and they happen to have like a men and women's like a halfway house, and also a human trafficking rescue home that is sponsored by the church. So and they have a food bank also.
What impressed you?
It's a, you know, the halfway house, the Christian halfway house.
Yeah, I understand
house.
The characteristics of the place, but what about it impressed you?
Is it better than the government-run ones in New Mexico?
You know what, that's why I'm kind of perplexed, because when I went to the Salvation Army church here, they bust in a lot of men. They look like a halfway house program. Because they busted them out
so
part of the sentencing,
okay.
The judges.
Yeah, whatever. So to be fair, Sarah, you agree with Bonnie that the church that you're seeing, it's better than the government programs, the government halfway houses and all of that stuff?
Well, I don't know. Do you get an option? I don't know. How
yes,
to,
I,
yeah,
I,
of course
I
you do.
Is.
Yeah, yes, I want you to evaluate the two things and tell me which one is better.
Like, do you think the sleeping quarters and the common areas, the things you always complain about with the jail / the ex-jail halfway house, or not halfway house, a homeless shelter, do you think that this one is better? Would you rather stay there?
Well, I mean, you know something? Obviously, these Christian ones, they have a lot of... like a Bible study and a lot of, you know, I think that's a lot better for the people to rehabilitate, to acknowledge God in their life than just a regular old halfway house that you're not allowed to do that.
I mean, it could be, because a big part of the, what is it, the 12-step or something, a lot of process that they use in a lot of different rehabs, they're really into, like, higher power, God, and that... Actually, honestly, I don't really agree with that as a belief system for myself, but it does help a lot of people stay sober.
Yeah, and it's bizarre, right? I wouldn't expect it to work. It does seem to.
It works really well for a lot of people, yeah.
I suspect something else will work better, but it's just amazing to me. It's like, hey, look, the answer to your alcoholism, your addiction, is God. And yes, we do, in fact, have a medical degree. Thank you for asking. It's not what you would expect a medical program to be.
But, you know, I think it's all, Cindy, thing with the halfway house is that on your own.
What is a halfway house? I'm not entirely sure. What is a halfway house?
Okay, halfway house is like, okay, when you get done with your sentencing and they dump you out, instead of throwing you out on the street, is that like it's like a halfway house? In other words, you're not like ready to go out into society. They let you stay there
until
you get a job.
So when I think of halfway house, I think of like sober living for recovering addicts.
It is forced, though, Bonnie.
They come out of jail.
Well, it's when they come out of jail specifically. Yeah, they come out of jail. Like Chris Cantwell's in one. He's out of jail.
They call that a halfway house too?
It is a rehab thing too, but Chris Cantwell's not allowed.
I thought he was out of it by now.
Maybe he's not in it right this second, okay. But when he got out of prison, he didn't get to just go rent a house somewhere. He had to stay at this halfway house. Like, he was mandated. Well, maybe not everyone there is. Maybe some people are addicts. I don't know.
Would think they would keep those two populations separated. I think the halfway house for people in recovery and the halfway house for people who are just getting out of jail would probably be different.
I think for people getting out of jail, it's supposed to be a good thing, right? We say that he had to go to this place, and that's true, but you're supposed to serve, I think it was, the last 6 months of his sentence in this halfway house.
Yeah, I'd probably rather be there than in prison.
So he was sentenced to, I think, 3 years or something like that. I don't remember the exact sentence, but the theory is that he would spend, 30 months in prison and then the final 6 months of his prison sentence in this halfway house, which would be tremendously better than spending it in prison. It's not like he did his full 36-month duration and then, had to do an additional 6-month sentence at this halfway house.
Yeah, I think the idea is...
Okay, this is a Christian halfway house for women and men. Also, they have a home for human to help out human trafficking victims. This is part of the ministry. So I was just very impressed. But to me, it's very important to know that there's help other than yourself and your willpower to keep you away from crime or something. It's very
it's called the government, right, Sarah? It's the government that is there for people. Oh, wait.
Well, but
so you're saying we don't need the government to be there for people, that we can have private organizations that aren't funded by the government, that aren't part of the government, that help people and keep them away from crime and help them lead better lives?
And their bunk beds have rails?
But this works with the government. So the government is authorizing that. Okay,
the government authorized them, but that all that means is the government did not tell them they couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's still not necessarily government funded, because even like with a lot of like a lot of rehabs and treatment centers and a lot of halfway houses, they do have privately run organizations like the church that you're speaking of.
So let's remove the government from the concept entirely and just say that, they can have their halfway house. They don't need permission from the government to help one another. And how insane is that?
How insane is it to tell a church, no, you can't? Like, they told them they could, but that means they had the option to say, no, you can't, help people.
Well, how insane is it from the beginning that a church or anyone, that any individual has to say, hey, government, do I have your permission to help my fellow human beings?
Well, and the weird part is, so as taxpayers, why are the taxpayers responsible for funding these halfway houses?
Well, in theory, they're not. I mean, this is a church.
No, but I mean like the government-run ones, when we could have organizations like churches or private organizations. I mean, a lot of people are really passionate about helping other people. Food banks, So I just think that this would be better run as private organizations,
Sarah,
way better than the government could.
Sarah, if you weren't bipolar and you had a job, would you consider donating to this church halfway house?
Well, I already have.
Oh, nice.
I've already donated $500 to the ministry.
Oh,
I had
really
no idea why. And then I found out
What do you mean you
later,
have no idea why? Do you have so much money
I just donated. I didn't donate to know that they had a halfway house for men and women. I did not know that they had a human until 2 months later.
So why did you donate $500 to them?
I was prompted to do. You know what I mean? Something told me that I need to make a donation. But afterwards, I found out this is something. That's why I was kind of blown away. Hey, this is something that I really support. I'm, and I, I gave money, donated money to them before anyways for some reason.
I don't believe this. You're a welfare whore, Sarah. You don't have the $500 to just wantonly give to people like this. What inspired you to give this church $500?
Well, I had some money saved, but I believe that you have to give money to church or help with God's church. You know, that's part of the religious system.
How did you save this money?
Well, I don't know. I just managed to save some money here and there. I have
for
to
what?
How well, you know,
she,
little you got.
She doesn't have to pay for any type of housing.
Yeah, but she has no income.
Richard sees her naked.
Yeah, but
anyway, I do have an income. I get SSI. I get $914 a month from SSI. I get disability.
Yeah, that's an income.
Oh, that's right, because you're a welfare whore.
I get a disability check.
Are you disabled, Sarah?
So this is a really good cause, and my whole point is that it's more important for if they want to stay out of trouble to acknowledge God in their program somehow. So that there's somebody that's greater that you're leaning on that will help you to stay away from getting in trouble.
Yeah,
that's the AA. Other than the state one, is that they're not allowed to talk about God at all.
I'm just glad you're not a communist anymore.
All of a sudden yourself, huh?
I'm just glad you're not a communist anymore.
Well, I still am. I still am.
And that's nonsense, Sarah. Like you're allowed to talk about God in the state-run halfway houses.
Yeah, but they don't. They're not allowed. No, the state, the
employees
the people that run it are not supposed to talk about it at all.
That may be true because teachers aren't.
I don't think it's true. Every AA program, every addiction program has the belief in a higher power.
Yeah, are they all government run? I honestly don't know.
I'm not sure about AA programs. I'm assuming there's some government run ones, but like their entire thing is the 12 step. Which is every single step is about God. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's all about surrendering your power, surrendering your responsibility to a higher power. Well, that's core to the AA program. And a state-run AA program is going to have that higher power within it.
Well, one thing about communists is, I think it was the Marx, I think it was him that said, like, oh, well, the population depends too much on religious ideology, and that's why they need to be handled by us. So that's why, like, in Russia, they didn't allow, like, I think it was mostly Catholic there, or maybe Orthodox, something like that, and they stopped allowing them to do that at the time, because religion was, like, a no-go. And then also, of course, private charities, Sarah, were a no-go in communism. So I really just think I think you're cured. I don't think you're a communist anymore. You're a capitalist because you have this business you're running with Richard, and you also, you know, trade goods and services with Richard, I guess more of services.
Well,
Sarah's got the goods.
Idea, you know, I still have a communist idea of sharing equally amongst others. You
what
know, redistributing wealth.
But you have a house. Are you going to share your house with others?
Yeah, what about those ladies that Richard keeps trying to lure over for sex? Why don't you let Richard lure any lady over for sex and you can all be naked and share, you know, whatever room... Richard gives you?
I have no idea. I you know what? I got tired of, I don't know, that's his life. It's basically his house. I can't really do nothing about it.
You live there with him.
I try to tell him something, but whether he listened to me or not is another story. You know what I mean? He does whatever he wants to do.
You live there with him, right?
Well, I mean, I just live here, but most of the time I just have to put up with it. You know what I mean? Whether
okay.
I like something or not.
So he's just your landlord.
But you know what?
But he doesn't have...
Right, so you're just renting a room from him?
Right.
That's it? Okay.
But he also doesn't, like, end up getting them to come over. He can't convince them anyway, so Sarah's probably fine. She's probably safe from that, from having to share.
But it sounded like he was all, hey, you know, text me and we'll arrange for you to come over instead of him saying, hey, look, come over right now. That's what it sounded like to me.
I have no idea what's going on from day to day right now. He's not really wrapped too tight. After the Vietnam War, you know, he had PTSD and he's not all there.
I can imagine.
So. Oh, yeah. I, you know what? He hasn't gotten shot not even once.
That's not amazing. Even once. Wow. That is amazing. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Sarah. I don't even know how to...
Sarah never got hit by a car, not even once.
Bridget, she never says that shot. About things that like, are totally not normal.
I've never been shot, not even once.
Yeah, I've never been hit by a car, like, as if that is supposed to happen frequently.
Do you think that's why she said not even once, that he had never been shot, not even once? It's because of...
That's just how she talks.
So we made her a flyer, for those who don't know.
A certificate, yes.
An
award, you might say. A plaque.
Sarah is a pedestrian, a pedestrian for 22 years in the state of New Mexico.
Oh. I was wondering why I said 22 years. I was like, she is older than that. Yeah. So
that's just what she said.
She's been a pedestrian in the state of New Mexico, and that's where it's dangerous, apparently. And
I could believe it.
In 22 years of being a pedestrian there, she has never been hit by a car. Not even once. And that's her
claim to fame.
Yes, thank you. That's her great accomplishment.
I've never been abducted by an alien, not even once.
Nope. Yeah, same. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Sarah. And, you know, I'm glad that Richard has never been, you know, shot, not even once. The Vietnam War, I don't want to make fun of Richard, certainly. I like Richard. He's just like a really nice guy.
There are other things that can give you PTSD from being in a war than even just physically being shot.
Oh my gosh, yeah, so many things.
Yeah, the Vietnam War, as I understand it, well, I mean, just being there was traumatic experience.
And Vietnam was especially gruesome. I mean, every war is horrible, and I'm sure anyone that goes off to war could have lifelong psychological effects from that. But Vietnam was especially really gruesome.
Yeah, look up some of the traps and things like that that were in use during the Vietnam Wars. I mean, they were absolutely horrifying. Mm-hmm. And you could just be walking,
yeah.
Right? Just going from A to B, and there's a trap, and it's a shotgun shell, and it explodes, and now you don't have a foot anymore.
Yeah.
Or the snake traps, and I don't remember how these worked, but it was, you know, something about a tunnel.
The snake pits or whatever?
There were those as well. There were a lot of traps, but this one, they were in tunnels, and as they were fleeing the Vietnamese people, the North Vietnamese, they would, like, nail a snake, basically, to the top of the tunnel, so obviously, whenever someone went by it, the snake would lash out and bite them, and then you would die slowly from this poisonous snake bite, or venomous snake bite. Just horrifying, gruesome stuff, right? And, like, people were drafted to do this.
Yeah, people were forced against their will. It wasn't like they signed up for the military and, you know, were consensually doing this. A lot of people were forced into it. It's terrible.
And I would oppose this on any grounds, but the fact that it was the conscription and that people were drafted to do this against their will, absolutely horrifying, disgusting, despicable behavior. And I think the people responsible, I have a hard time forgiving them. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA USA News Update. The skies have been clear of any flying objects recently. That's according to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
I'm not aware of any additional objects that have been reported operating in the space in the last 48 hours.
Making his remarks in Brussels, this comes after objects were shot down after they floated over Alaska, Canada, and Lake Huron too low and in commercial jet traffic lanes. The U.S. will default on its debt sometime between July and September if Congress does not pass legislation to raise the debt ceiling. That is according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. The U.S. hit its $31.4 trillion borrowing cap last month, forcing the Treasury Department to roll out measures to ensure the government can continue paying its bills while Congress works on raising the debt limit. The CBO said if the limit is not raised, the government would be unable to pay its obligations. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and you can still join us. If you're quick, you can get on the air with us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And us, of course, is me, Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And again, I want to let you know about our chat server. You can find it at chat.freetalklive.com. That's our official chat server. And as much as anything is official in regard to Free Talk Live, which is to say that this is the one that we promote, there may actually be another chat server out there that's calling itself the unofficial chat server. It seems very unlikely, but if there is more power to those people, chat.freetalklive.com, that's where you want to go. And you can join the trolls there because a lot of them are trolls. Some of them are pretty entertaining. Sometimes they're not so entertaining.
If you like Turd Ferguson's calls, he's a resident troll there.
A resident?
He is, among some of the others. He has a number of groups there where he posts a lot of, they're not safe for work pics of girls, but they're pretty close on
occasion.
Sometimes
they are, and I'm just like, Turd, this isn't why I joined this. I joined this because I have nobody to talk about pop stars with, but Turd genuinely cares about pop.
Does he? Is that?
Well, I'm in a movie stars one with him that I think you're in. Maybe you're not okay. In the pop star one. He calls it Katy Perry and other teen sexy pop stars.
I think I'm in that one. And I'm in the Mila, whatever her name is.
Oh, Mila Jovovich.
No.
Yeah. No.
The one from The Fifth Element.
Oh, I thought she was the chick from Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah. Is that not the same person? Mila Jovovich?
I have no idea.
I think it is. Okay. I really am not the biggest fan of hers or something.
Yeah, same.
I think she is pretty, but she would not be my first movie theater or movie actress choice. In fact, Mila Kunis is way higher up there.
Oh, good Lord, yes. Mila Kunis is quite nice.
They're both Ukrainian, I think.
Is she? I didn't know that.
Mila is, but I don't know about Mila Jovovich. I think she is.
I think Katie McGrath is probably my favorite actress.
I don't know that one.
She played Morgana in the BBC's adaptation of Merlin. That's the only thing I've ever seen her in, and she's stunningly beautiful and a fantastic actress. I would definitely recommend that series for anyone who hasn't seen it. But anyway, let's keep going with the stories. I wanted to talk about a number of things tonight. Of course, we're running out of time to talk about everything that we want to talk about. So let's just get into this final story here from, oddly enough, the Garrison Center. A friend of mine, Tom Knapp, runs thegarrisoncenter.org, and this is an interesting take on the balloons that are the nightmarish scenario, right? The Chinese balloons that are spying on Americans, and like, look, you have TikTok installed on your phone. I don't think you really need to worry about the balloon spying on you.
That's what I'm saying. It's just so easy for them to spy on us through Google, all of these other internet computer apps. Why would they even bother trying to look at us?
Yeah, from thousands
the sky
of feet away. They're not going to gain any information about me from looking at the top of my house.
The fact that anybody fell from this, like, I would believe that they were trying to drop a bomb on us before I'd believe that was a spy balloon. You know what I mean? So it's just very interesting that, like...
And wouldn't you be more mad at the United States government for shooting it down once it went from, like, Montana to North Carolina?
Yeah, like, why did it take so long? There's just so many things about that.
It's all very weird, to say nothing of the Chinese spy satellites that we know exist, right? Like, the Chinese government absolutely has satellites in orbit around the planet, and they are absolutely, some of them, are absolutely watching the United States. So, like, what were they supposedly gaining from this balloon that they weren't gaining from their satellites? It's all very peculiar.
Low-tech looking balloon that could have just gotten taken out by some birds on accident.
It's really was just a distraction of all of the other countless things that Americans and the rest of the world should be paying attention to that they aren't. And they are so easy to distract.
So this is coming from thegarrisoncenter.org, so go check that out if you like what the article we're about to get into has to say. They're over Alaska. They're over Montana. They're over Lake Huron. They're over... Oh, wait. They just got shot down. Woo! That was close. Tesla's engineers are gathering this week in Washington with an eye on dramatically improving their vehicle's acceleration profiles by studying how fast the U.S. government managed to get from, quote, nothing there to, quote, balloon of some kind to spy balloon to unidentified aerial phenomena. Because that was the arc that this thing took, right? Mm-hmm. It went from, there is nothing there, don't worry about it. And then it was a balloon of some sort. Then it was a Chinese spy balloon, then unidentified aerial phenomena, the UAP, as they call it, the new term for UFO. To seemingly flying squadrons of military aircraft over every child's birthday party and using expensive missiles to take down stray helium containers, which is what the United States government did. Didn't they shoot these things down?
Yeah.
Or this thing down? Because I don't know how many there were, but there was at least one. And I don't know if there were more. Do either of you know?
I only heard about one. And then there was one that flew over China that they were trying to say was a UFO. And I was like, oh, here it comes, the fake alien invasion that they're going to use to do whatever with.
I really just didn't care enough to actually, like, look at articles about it. I just went off what I saw on Twitter. It's just like, I was like, this is so dumb.
It's not that I don't care. It's just that I don't know enough about it, and I'm not going to learn enough about it by reading news stories, because they're not going to tell me anything. All they're going to do at most is speculate about it, and, like, I don't need that.
And if I can speculate myself, right? We can sit here and speculate all day.
And if that's all I'm going to get about it, then why not just stick with whatever random tweets I happen to see? They're going to be just as good. The random people tweeting about this Chinese spy balloon are every bit as knowledgeable and reliable as Fox News tweeting about this stupid Chinese spy balloon, so...
And I would trust that a random Twitter account has less bias than FoxNews.com anyway.
Honestly, yeah.
And that's scary, but you're absolutely right. Fox News does have a narrative, they have an agenda, and so does this person on Twitter, obviously, but the person on Twitter is going to be less defined by their agenda. So anyway... From, you know, an abundance of caution. That's why we shot down, or that's why the U.S. government shot down these spy balloons, or these balloons of some sort, whatever you want to call them. It was just an abundance of caution, just being safe. You know?
After it flew across the entire United States, with abundant caution, shot it down.
Wasn't that strange that it took them so long after, you know, it's like... If this thing was an actual threat, they let it carry on for a long time before they finally did something about it.
And I only heard that from Matt, Nikki's boyfriend, because I thought that they shot it... When I heard that they shot it down, I figured they shot it down while it was still in Montana. But no, they shot it down on the other coast of the United States, in, like, North Carolina.
And I feel like they would have, if it was really unidentified to them, or they thought it was from China or wherever, they would have shot that down immediately.
Right. I think so, too.
They clearly, I think the United States released that themselves. It was just another distraction because they were doing all this other sketchy stuff.
So I wasn't aware of this. They let the thing traverse across the entire United States before they finally shot it down on the East Coast?
Yeah, and it was a spy balloon. They let it finish spying. Why even shoot it down at that point? Just let it fly over to Africa.
Yeah, let it finish its job, right? Good Lord, that's crazy. And there's more of this coming up, but before we get into that, we have Major Payne on the line from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
All right, girls. Yeah, the first balloon they shot down, they're claiming the reason that they didn't shoot it down for so long was populated areas, and we both know in Montana that's BS.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
In Montana.
I was like, why wouldn't they do it while it was in Montana, where if it's going to hit anything, it's going to hit a cow?
Oh, it came in on the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. It should have been shot down before it hit the Alaskan coast, but this thing was cruising at 60,000 feet.
Why shoot it down, right? It's just a balloon.
Well, if they just didn't want to risk it, and that it was an abundance of caution, like they said, then they should have done it as early as possible and, you know, not in a populated area.
Let me get to the second point. This thing was cruising at 60,000 feet, which is about 20,000 feet above all the commercial aircraft.
Okay.
Now, there was three of these things that were shot down. One was shot down just off of the coast of Dead Horse, Alaska. It's up on the North Shore.
See, I thought there were multiple ones that were shot down.
One that was shot down in Lake Huron was only 50 miles from where I sit right now.
Hmm. Okay.
But,
And the significance of that is...
Why does it matter that it's 60,000 feet?
The other ones were cruising at about 40,000, and that is in where it could endanger commercial flight.
And that's the one that went all the way from the West Coast to North Carolina, so I guess it was just endangering commercial flights the whole time.
No, that's the one that was at 60,000 feet. That's what the one they claimed was above all the air traffic. They claimed that the other two were non-propelled and just basically at the mercy of the wind. I only saw one report on it, but I saw a map of the course that this thing took over Michigan, and it made all kinds of little squirrelies and circles and adjustments, and it squiggled all over the northern part of the peninsula. And one of the biggest air bases in the UP, and the second biggest one is 20 miles from me. And that's what they were after. They're after aerial photography of our defenses.
I mean, maybe, but there's a lot of little drafts up there, a lot of little currents. I'm not surprised that something, you know, 60,000 feet above the ground was constantly changing directions and getting blown around. I'm surprised it was as consistent as it was traveling.
You guys are stuck. you guys are stuck on the 60. The other two were down about 40 or 30.
Okay, so
regardless of what elevation it was at,
it's a balloon. Why wouldn't it blow around?
But you're missing the point, Major Payne, that they already have greater technology in the form of these satellites to spy on us, so they wouldn't need to release an obvious balloon where they were going to get, you know, attract heat or anything. They've probably been spying at the Upper Peninsula, if it's that important.
You know what I think happened? I think this was like a science project that some kids were doing. So they released these balloons up into the sky and then were like, oh, crap.
I'm not
saying
anything.
Now we're making national news. Yeah. I'm not saying I did it.
Well, I think Plan B is probably it was a distraction for something else that they're pulling out of their left sleeve. But we got to figure that one out.
China or the United States?
I mean, they're one and the same.
Thank you so much for the call tonight, Major. We're never going to know now what these things were all about. I mean, we're never going to know anyway, because even if the government had intercepted one of these and studied it, they would probably lie to us about what it was actually doing. And I mean, I can't trust the American government, but if they found a balloon and it was just a balloon, they would probably tell us it was spying on us or, you know... Yeah. It was going to drop sarin on the Washington, D.C. Who knows what sort of crazy lies they would have said.
If they just told me, oh, it's just a balloon, I would have been like, that can't possibly be it. It's got to be doing something more. Because I don't trust... I mean, who blames me?
I mean, you'd be a fool to trust them.
Yeah.
Everything the government says is a lie.
Yeah.
So anything they say about the balloon is going to be a lie. Well, we wouldn't want the Chinese to find out about those low, low prices at Walmart in Billings, Montana. On pretty much everything but the giant sub-$100 helium balloons, which U.S. Senator Josh Hawley finds very disturbing. I didn't quite catch all that paragraph. I'm sure there's some sort of reference there that I just don't understand.
Ironically, the low prices in Walmart in Billings, Montana are thanks to the Chinese.
They are indeed.
That's true.
There were a lot of links in that paragraph that I assume provide context to that. This is always one of the... I hate Walmart because I just hate the atmosphere, but I'm torn. Like, when I go to Walmart and I see all of this stuff being sold for these super, super low prices, I know, some part of me knows that this is child labor.
Yeah, exactly.
That we're dealing with. And I won't buy Nike for these reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Nike uses child labor, but China is a bit more advanced than that these days. I don't think they're using child labor. There are probably still sweatshops, but the thing about these sweatshops and the labor in China is that as you pay people to do jobs, they start making money. And they stop being poor.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It doesn't bother me that something comes from a sweatshop. It only bothers me if it's forced. Like, forced child labor, bad. Forced sweatshop working, bad. If somebody is choosing to work in a sweatshop, that means that their other option is worse.
That's very true. And eventually they'll make enough money and they won't have to work in a sweatshop. And we've seen this. This is why... It's not a bad idea. It's a good thing. It lifts these people up to hire them to perform these tasks. And we're like, oh, no, you know, we're having the Chinese work in sweatshops or whatever. It's like, yes, but they were living in poverty before.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're not living in poverty. This is a good thing.
It's going to be less and less true as she rolls back the capitalist stuff that was going on and becomes more communist. So it kind of sucks. Like, can't always count on it, but for the most part, I mean, as long as it's not forced, then it's probably better than their other option.
I agree, and sometimes it is forced. Like, you read these stories, I think it was the Apple factory in China, people trying to jump out of windows and stuff because they weren't allowed to go home.
Oh, yeah, during the lockdowns.
Well, no, this was before the lockdowns. This was in, like, 2012 or something.
My gosh.
No, I didn't hear about
Maybe
that.
It was Foxconn. They put nets around the building because people were jumping to their deaths.
Oh my God.
It's effectively slavery, but that's rare, and it's not all that common, and it's deplorable, and it should never happen.
Did Apple stop that?
I don't know, and I don't think it was Apple.
But
I think it was Foxconn. For whatever reason, Foxconn is sticking in my head as the company that was responsible for that, and I don't know if they put a stop to it or not, but China has improved drastically over the last several decades, and the reason for that is capitalism. Capitalism lifts everyone out of poverty, and that's one of the, it's so hard to explain this to people like Sarah and just communists in general who, they look around and they're like, well, we still have poor people in America. And
it's like, yeah, but they're, the thing is, whether you're poor or not, you're able to make that decision of what you are doing for work.
And well, a lot no of one is, almost no one is poor in America.
And even if you are poor, you can, there are resources here because there's enough abundance to go around, but in communist countries, that's just not the case at all. And it just baffles me that people don't see that, because look at Cuba, look at Venezuela, look at China, look at North Korea. Like, well, we can't really look at North Korea that well, but you can look at all of these examples of communism gone wrong, the Soviet Union.
And the worst off people in the United States are that way because of communist things going on in their cities and stuff. Like, as soon as the slaves were freed, they were offered, you know, like free housing and stuff. That just stifled them even more. Like, sounds crazy to people who are like, what? You don't think the slaves should have been offered free housing straight out of slavery? Well, it literally hurt them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it stifled innovation, and also they gave them unfarmable lots. Like, yeah, you got something for free, but you also immediately are dependent on the government, and it just stuck like that in a lot of places.
Well, I can't really speak to that, but one of the arguments I've always made is that capitalism lifts people out of poverty. It makes everyone wealthier, and it does, as far as I can tell. But they go, how can you say that? We still have poor people in the United States, but we don't. I mean, sure, there are some people who are starving to death. There are some people who live in poverty in the United States, and I don't mean to suggest that they aren't. By and large, those people are choosing that lifestyle. A lot of the people who are homeless, if they're not mentally ill, then they've specifically chosen to be homeless because they don't want to deal with the stress of having to work and, you know, pay bills or whatever. But I can't remember the last time I went to someone's house and they did not have at least a 45-inch television in their house.
That's a great point.
One of them. And this is a technology that is abundant and available to almost everyone in the United States. And 30 years
ago... For cheap, too. You can go to Walmart and get one for, like, you know...
30 years ago, that wasn't possible. Mm-hmm. You may have had a big CRTV that was, like, 19 inches, and it cost $300 or $400 or whatever, and that was what the family used, but everyone now has a cell phone. They have a laptop. They
smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol all the time, but they think they're poor.
Well, and it's none of my business what people spend their money on, but I've noticed this a lot where people will cry poverty, and then I see what they're buying their kids for Christmas, or that they have addictions that cost money, like cigarettes and soda, and you know they're partaking in all of these things that are unnecessary.
It's an addiction, though. I'm not going to say it's unnecessary. I've been addicted to cigarettes, right? I'm not going to criticize these people for having this addiction.
But if you're in Africa and you're poor, and even if you had access to cigarettes,
you're not your money on that,
you're just
right?
Like, sorry, I need water. So, it's just different in
it's
America.
Like, I'm not trying to judge anyone or really criticize anyone, but it's just the fact of the matter. If you're starving to death, are you picking a pack of cigarettes or are you picking food? You know, people who are truly starving to death will not pick the pack of cigarettes.
No, you obviously not.
You know,
everything has a cost, right? And this is a tricky thing about capitalism and just money in general, right? How much is a steak really worth? People don't really know, but it depends is ultimately the answer. If I'm starving to death, there's almost no value that I wouldn't pay for that steak. I'll give you up whatever because I'm starving to death. And at that point, I'm probably going to die anyway. Yeah. Having one steak when you're that far off probably isn't going to help you. But still, the point is that if you're starving, then the value of food is tremendously higher than it is otherwise. If you have plenty of food, then what's a steak worth to you? Yeah. I don't know, $5 maybe?
Yeah.
But if it's all you've got to eat, then it's worth the whole lot. And that's just the way things are. But in America, there's plenty of food. there's plenty of stuff to go around. Everyone has money for the most part. And if you don't have money, it's because you're... Kim, when you say something, I'm not feeling very well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think a lot of the people who are in those situations, and I don't want to say that people are, you know, like that it's their fault if they're suffering from things like addiction or PTSD or mental illness.
It might not be their fault, like, that it happened in the first place, but it's their responsibility now. Because if something is wrong in your life, it's no one else's responsibility to fix it. It doesn't matter if the person who caused it. It's not their responsibility either. It sounds crazy, but it's not their responsibility because it's your life that needs to be, to improve. And sounds harsh, but a lot of times what these people need is literally harsh love.
I mean,
like, my brother, his life is so bad because my mom and grandparents who raised him just gave him everything he wanted. Like, oh, you spent all your money on meth? I feel bad for you. Let me buy you new clothes and stuff. Instead of like, wow, sucks. You need to go get a job.
But and I do think like a lot of people who are suffering with addiction or mental illness or whatever the case may be, I think a lot of them do need help. You know, not always not like babying them and, you know, contributing to the problem. A lot of people do need help, but it's not like the government cannot be the solution for the help that they need. You know, like there are plenty of people who are super generous. There are plenty of privately run organizations, and like we mentioned earlier, if the government and their regulations just steps out of the way, it will be so much easier for people to be charitable and for people to truly get the help that they need.
And that help is just going to be better quality. Like if it's just coming from the love of somebody's heart that they started this charity, it's going to be so much better than anything the government's going to put out because they don't care about you. They have those charities so that way you're dependent on them.
Yeah.
They put out the lowest possible, you know, bunk beds without rails like Sarah's always talking about, just so that way they say they have that thing for people, but they don't actually care.
Yeah.
No, and the individuals out there that actually care. American people in general are good. People care about one another and they want to help one another. And it's tragic that you can't just have a halfway house. You can't just have these places to help one another. You have to ask the government permission. And that's one of the greatest tragedies in human history. And we just accept it as normal. Sarah accepted it as normal that, you know, well, of course they have to ask the government's permission to help one another. We shouldn't have to. You should be free to help one another. We're out of time for tonight. You can join us in the meantime on our social media server. You can find that at social.freetalklive.com.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.